your daughter and Mandy and this your friend? Ryan, that's it.
Brandon.
Why did I think Ryan? I had Ryan on the brain. It's all right. Praise God. Hey, turn to 1 John chapter 3. We'll be going through 11 through 17. In your bulletin, can I see your bulletin just for a moment, Joni, please? You'll see what's happening. We have our leftover Christmas ugly sweater game night. All right, that's a mouthful. On December 31st, New Year's Eve, starts at 6 p.m. Just bring finger foods to share, and we're just going to have a good night playing games. Remember, $5 or less white elephant gift, and we will share that and share gifts with one another. And other than that, you can see the rest. Week of prayer coming up. Prayer breakfast. Better give that back to you, right? Praise the Lord. You know what I had to do? I need to push this back because I put it way too forward. Because if I don't, nobody's going to see the front, are they? Praise the Lord. 1 John. If I asked you what love meant, what would you say?
Caring.
What would you say? Friends.
Family.
What else? Acceptance. Unbending.
Loving one another.
She just gets cuter by the moment. Paul said it best in 1 Corinthians 13, right? How we need love, how we need one another. If you asked a multitude of people that, you'd get a multitude of responses just like we just did. This morning, I want to look at a portion of 1 John that, you know, we are going through 1 John, you know, several verses at a time just to walk through this because the book of 1 John is an amazing book. But John isn't a sugarcoater. He doesn't sugarcoat his words. When he is speaking, he is speaking from his heart. And sometimes when he speaks, his words are, well, may seem harsh, but in reality what they're doing is trying to inspire us to become better, to love God better, to love one another better. And as we've walked through the first three chapters of the book of John, we've began to see how what he's talking about and how what he's talking about with love. John was impressed to love and to share what love really means and should mean to us as believers. He was blessed to walk with the Lord for many, many years. He was blessed to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. He was blessed to share in the ministry. Can you imagine John seeing all the healings and all the things that Jesus did, the driving out of the demonic and just being a part and raising the dead? What a place to have been, and for him to want to understand and then to express to others what love is. Because he saw love. He saw Jesus Christ. He felt the love of Jesus Christ. He saw the great example of who Jesus was. Jesus didn't just speak of love, he lived love out in his life. And that's why I think that as we grow and mature as believers, we need to truthfully begin to put our love into action. We need to share with others what true love really means. The world is looking for love, right? There are people, your next door neighbors, your friends, your family, they are looking for love in many places, in the wrong place, but they are looking for love and they're looking for spiritual things. And what they really truly want to see is us, right? Those who claim to love, to put our love into action. This is a true story of a pastor who took his 8-year-old daughter and 5-year-old son to the shopping mall one day. He says, as we drove up, we spotted a Peterbilt 18-wheeler parked in the mall parking lot. And when I was a kid, they used to have these 18-wheelers, right, that would come, and they'd be full of animals, and they would set up a big area, and they would put straw down, and then they'd charge the kids a quarter or something to come in and pet all the animals. And it was cool. And when I was growing up as a kid, you know, parents trusted so they could hand their kid a quarter and they could walk off and they could go do their thing. Kids would be safe and they'd be having a fun time. This pastor shared in his story that as he walked into Sears, all of a sudden he saw his daughter right behind him, and he was surprised to see his daughter. His daughter would be enraptured in all the little animals, petting them and all that kind of stuff. And as he turned around and saw her, he looked down at her and he looked into her deep brown eyes, right? And he said, "Honey, what in the world are you doing here? I thought you'd be petting the animals." And she said, "Daddy, it doesn't cost a quarter anymore, it costs 50 cents. So I gave my brother my quarter and let him go in." Now, this pastor could imagine his heart, right? I've had a few of those with my boys over the years. Their motto was love in action. And they'd been training their son and their daughter to understand what love in action is. Here was this little girl who had sacrificed something. She had put love into action. She had incorporated, at 8 years old, she had incorporated putting love into action, so that her little brother could enjoy holding the little animals. Sometimes I just want to go and sit in a petting zoo and pet little animals. I don't think you have to be young to do that. Some people may think I'm weird, but I wouldn't mind that. I love, you know, you all know we got a little puppy, right? So and that little puppy comes up and she sits right here on our chest, right? And you go like, why would the dog sit there? But that little puppy wants to be as close as she can, right to you. And I think she wants to be on your heart so she can hear the heartbeat. And she licks us and kisses us. And it's like we're the surrogate parents, right, for this little puppy. And our big dog Jimmy, well, he's not big, he's a wiener dog, right? We have wiener dogs. And Jimmy's so jealous. What in the world, right? But love in action is something that this little girl had incorporated into her life. The pastor goes on to write, he said, "Most of you think that I would have given my daughter 50 cents, right? But he said, my daughter knew something at that young age that he cried over afterwards. He said she knew that true love in action meant that there had to be sacrifice. And he said, so when they got done buying, he wanted to buy a scroll saw. Once they got done buying the scroll saw, they went out there, and here was the dad leaning on the fence, and here was the little girl leaning on the fence between the rungs, watching the little boy. And he said, I had 50 cents in my pocket. All I had to do was hand it to her. But he said, I didn't do it, and she didn't ask. They just sat there and watched that little boy pet the animals and fall all over the place. And you see, love is not just love in action. Love is sacrificial action. Love is sacrificing. Love always pays a price. Love is something that comes from deep within us. And John wants to share with us this morning, and he's going to say it in a way where some people, I preach this message over the years, not this one specifically, but out of 1 John, and people have said, that offends me. And I said to them, this shouldn't offend you, it should inspire you. It should inspire you to be like Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ was true love. Jesus Christ was the example for us to follow. He's the one who showed John what true love is. And what John is trying to share with us is that we heed the words of what Scripture tells us and how we must live our life and how we must put love into action, sacrificial love into action. Now, if you're in verse 11 of 1 John chapter 3, we're in the back of the Bible. Somebody once asked me, well, how do you know the Johns? Well, John has John. John has a 1 and it has a 2. Right? Well, where is 1 John? You know what the first thing was when somebody asked me that? I was sitting there and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, they don't know what the Bible is. And when I was I was a youth pastor for a long time. And as I was sitting there with this teenager, you know, the first thing to rile up in me was, man, don't you know your word? The second thing the Holy Spirit did was tell me, listen, you have the greatest opportunity in the world to share love with this young man. And so I began to share. Here's where John is. Here's where 1 John. This is what this means. Sometimes it's the simplest things that we do in putting our love into action that means the most, right? Because here's John. He says, for this is the message. We see that this is a timely message, not just for his readers, but for us as well. He says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. This is nothing new. Jesus had shared in the Gospels that we should love one another, right? We should love God with all our heart, and that we should love one another as ourselves. And by doing that, we would put our love into action. And John isn't sharing anything new with his readers, because most of them had been there when Jesus, they were still alive when Jesus was there. And he was telling them, he was encouraging them, he was saying, listen, you need to love. This is a message that you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Because it's essential to our faith. It's essential to what we believe, and it's essential to who we are, that we cannot serve the Lord and please him apart from love, that we have to have love. John 13:34 says this, and here's Jesus speaking to us. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. to love, right? To take the opportunity when it arises to love. See, when Jesus tells me that he's given me a new commandment, that means that I have to take it strongly. I have to know that this is an important thing. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. No limits, right, Shirley? When you were a young girl and you got saved, the greatest message was what to you? To love one another, wasn't it? That all these years, amen. There's words of wisdom. There's words of wisdom. To put it into place, because John goes on to say in verse 12, because he's given us a comparison here, right? He goes on to say, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore he slew him, because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. Cain's actions were opposite of what love is. Abel's actions were righteous. And you go like, well, why couldn't God just accept Cain's sacrifice? Because his sacrifice wasn't righteous. He came from it in a different way. In the beginning, in the book of Genesis, if you want to read, you can go back in the first couple chapters. You'll see how Cain and Abel were Adam and Eve's children. And John is referring back to them. And you have to know that the readers back would have known who Cain and Abel were and what had happened and how Cain had murdered Abel. And so we see that putting love into action is something that we have to make sure that we do, because God accepted Abel's sacrifice because it was righteous and it was full of love. It wasn't what was sacrificed that was important. It was the attitude that he brought to sacrifice, right? Inside of him. The message of love is an expectation, right, that John is placing upon his readers. He said, this isn't a new doctrine. Jesus taught us this as he walked with us. The people of God were always expected to show love towards one another. And John is just, he's bringing that back. He said, don't be like Cain, be like Abel. Right? Don't be like Cain, be like Abel. Because it didn't take long for love to be tested, even resisted. John reminds us of how Cain slew him, rage and anger and hatred. You see, I thought quite a bit about this week. When we allow certain actions inside of us, right, they can turn from just a thought into an action of either love or hatred. When Cain made the sacrifice and God didn't accept it, what happened? Cain immediately became angry. And the emotion of anger, there's nothing wrong with it if we handle it properly. But Cain didn't have it. He didn't properly handle the anger that was inside of him. So that anger turned to hatred. And when hatred begins to swell up inside of us, right? We can either deal with it and ask for forgiveness, or we can hang on to it and let it become an offense, and we can become bitter. See, I want to live my life so that it's not full of anger and bitterness. And I mean, all of you know, this past year has been a heartache with Zach having leukemia and everything that we have gone through, and how God has miraculously brought him to almost back to health. And I mean, there were times, right? God, where are you? I have driven back and forth from Seattle to the Tri-Cities, back and forth as Amy and Zach were in Seattle for 8.5 months. Right? Some of those trips I'd be crying and I'd, you know, and especially that one time when that song came on Christian radio, right? Sing a hallelujah. And I'm going like, ah! Because I had to leave them. You see, there are moments like that when you can get angry. And how you handle the anger, right? How you handle the anger means everything. Because here's Cain and Abel. Cain doesn't handle the anger properly. Because we're talking to Josephine and this morning, and she's got this pain that won't go away from, you know, it's like right here or on this side, one of the two. And the doctor, she got the opportunity to share with the doctor, right? She's going like saying, hey, listen, I love my God, and my God loves me, and no matter how much pain I'm in, I'm still going to love him. And the doctor goes, well, why, right? What did you tell her?
Because
and he's with you all the time. You see, when we understand that God is with us no matter what we're going through in life, right? Because we go through things in life. Any of you not go through anything? You're perfect. Come on. I want to get to know you a lot better if you've lived a perfect life. Come to that faith point. It's a faith point, right? To trust in God no matter what's going on in your life. To trust in him and to love in him. See, when you have God on your side, you can handle most anything that happens to you. I think all things, you can handle it. You see, we can know of love, and we can understand what love is, and yet refuse to love, can't we? Genuine love cannot be fabricated or initiated or imitated. It is either present within our hearts from Christ or not. See, I brag on our congregation all the time because, listen, we are not perfect, right? But there's one thing I do know. When somebody needs something, people are there and people help. Love comes from this body of Christ. Love is here. It's working. It's happening. And that's why when I began this, I said, those around you are looking for the real deal. They are looking for what real love is. They're looking at you and they're saying, what makes you different? What makes me different is because I have Jesus. I have Jesus in my heart. That's what makes me different. From a young man, 20 years old, giving my heart to Jesus Christ, right? Could have went to lived a whole different lifestyle. Who knows what would have happened to me? I don't know. But that moment when I realized that I needed a Savior and that I needed Jesus Christ and that He would come into my heart and into my life and He would change me, when I made that decision, Jesus rocked my world. Jesus rocked my world. I met my amazing wife who loved Jesus, right? And we've never looked back because God set in motion for two people who were supposed to be in ministry to rock their world for Jesus Christ. And we've tried. We haven't always done it the best, but we've tried. You see, John goes on to say in verse 13, because not everybody likes you for who you are, right? John says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. And what is he talking about the world? He's just talking about the people, right? He's talking about those people who don't necessarily have any plans to have God in their life or to have Jesus Christ in their life. They may not like you. Over the years, we've had people who just didn't like us because we stood up and said we love Jesus Christ. And you know what's amazing is that when you have people who don't love you and you love them back, they get angrier. Or they understand what true love is. And the Holy Spirit draws Jesus Christ unto them. We've had both. Amy and I have had both when we've been able to bring people to the place where they understand how great the love of Jesus Christ was, that he came as a baby, but he died on a cross for you and me, for our sins. Set us free so we can have a relationship with God. John wrote in John 15:19, he says, he's quoting Jesus. Jesus is saying, if you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So Jesus is clarifying what Josh is writing, or John is clarifying what, I called him Josh, his name's John. John is clarifying what Jesus says. Because in verse 14 and 15, John says, and here he's bringing a revelation of love. He says, here we discover, right? We discover what this is. He says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. And see, those are hard words, right? John is bringing hard words, something that we have to look at and begin to apply into our spiritual lives. Because a tree is known by its fruit, right? One year, I'm actually going to get Rainier cherries on that cherry tree in my backyard. I think I've got it down. It's only taken 8 years, right? I get a couple of them, like, you know, then and then that's it. I think I've got it down. I have to prune, right? I have to prune. I don't prune enough. I just let the tree grow. And the tree is growing more branches than it's trying to grow fruit, right? So this year I'm going to, every stinking branch that comes up, I'm pruning it. But you know, isn't that what Jesus said in John chapter 15? If you are going to be in the vine, if you are going to be in the vine, if you're going to be in the tree, then you have to be pruned. You have to come to that place where you're going to trust in God. You're going to trust in His Word. This isn't up there, but if you want, you can turn to John 15. Just so you have a reference, right? Because here's Jesus. He's saying, here's the vine. He's talking about the vine and the branches. And Jesus said, if it's in red, it's Jesus, right? That's what they tell us anyway. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. And no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Who are we remaining in? We are remaining in Jesus. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. If you're going to love like Jesus did, where, man, you got to be in the vine, right? You got to be there. Verse 5. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. And if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given unto you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples, right? See, this is, here's John. John is sharing with us all this wealth of information and all this spiritual stuff that he'd watched Jesus do and share. So when he tells us here in verse 14, he says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. And what he's talking about, he's saying we've gone from a sinful nature to what? To now we become a new creation. We are a new creature in Christ. And John then is bold and he says, he that loves not his brother abides not in death, right? He goes on to say in verse 15, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Because here's an eternal consequence. John is revealing to us an eternal consequence, right? Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. John is exclusively telling us that a lack for a brother or sister, that if we have a genuine hatred for them, that there isn't love in us. And I know from time to time people hurt us, right? How we deal with that, how we deal with the hurt, how we turn it over to God and not keep it within, that's what makes us or breaks us, right? It means that if we're in the vine, then we are going to stay in the vine, and we're going to do, right? Jesus is in us, and we're going to, when somebody hurts us, we go like, okay, I've been hurt. So what am I going to do with it? How am I going to deal with it? Am I going to let hatred and bitterness come in? Am I going to take an offense? Right? Or am I going to throw that offense aside, and am I going to say, okay, the love of God is stronger in me then? Is the love of God stronger in me than my anger or my hatred or my offense? Charles Spurgeon, you probably don't know who Charles Spurgeon is, but Charles Spurgeon was a guy from the 18th, he's a pastor, a preacher from the 1800s, right? Guy wrote a lot of stuff, the man of God. And he wrote this. He said, love is the only security against hate. So watch and listen to his words carefully, because his words are up there. I'll get out of the way if I'm in your way. He says, love is the only security against hate. And as everyone who does not love is potentially a hater, so every hater is potentially a murderer. A murderer is a hater who expresses his hatred in the most emphatic way. A hater who does not murder abstains for various reasons from his extreme way of expressing his hate. But the temper of the two men is what? The same. What is John saying? Or what is Charles Spurgeon saying? There is no difference, right? There's no difference from thinking it or doing it. Didn't Jesus say the same? Jesus said, if you steal, and don't take this literally. I don't believe Jesus was telling us to go cut off our hand. But he said, if you find yourself doing something with your hand, like stealing or whatever, then cut off your hand. What he was telling us is he's saying, if you're going to live for me, then you have to live for me through your actions. We have to be careful how we live and how we are, because, you know, Paul told us in Galatians, the Apostle Paul told us in Galatians chapter 5, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such, of which I have told you before, as I have told you in the time past, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. John wrote in Revelations 21:8, but the fearful and the unbelieving, right? And the abdominal, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the adulterers, and the liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Whew. A pastor once told me, he said, if you want a full church, then don't preach out of scriptures like this. They're hard scriptures. But if you're going to mature, if you're going to be inspired, if you're going to become more in Jesus Christ, then you have to not only take the good scriptures that are good and feel good and apply also the other scriptures that don't necessarily feel good. Because they're hard. God has an expectation on us. Jesus inspires us to be all that we can be. The army stole that from Jesus, you know that. Be all that you can be, right? That's the army's motto. Jesus inspires me to love no matter what. Jesus inspires me to stay in the vine. Jesus inspires me, right? He came as a baby. What would inspire? Let me go back to the Christmas story just for a second. I know we're going long. I'm sorry. You can handle it, right? You're all grown-ups? All right. What would inspire the angels and the Magi to take all the time and effort it took them to come to the baby Jesus, right? What would inspire them? There was this big star in the sky, right? The what? The talking star. Was that in a movie? Yes, there you go. It was the angel. Yeah, really a talking star, right? Yeah. Now that's cool. I like that. The angel came from heaven, and what stood before all those shepherds? All of Israel. You know what? The shepherd was like the worst job in the world, right? Nobody liked you. But what was amazing, you got to be out in wilderness, and you got to be there when it was sun out or the stars were out. And Jesus came as that baby to what? To those, all of those shepherds as they stood around, and the angel came. And then the Magi came. What inspired them? God inspired them. Because the Son of God was being born so that he could come and change the world. What a message. And that he could come and he would eventually die on the cross for you and me. See, John concludes this in verse 17. Right? John has hit all the gamuts. He's hit them all. He says, but whosoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how can the love of God be him? Now, you have to be here next week. Well, in 2 weeks, because I want to pick up verse 18 again. Next 2 weeks, we're going to look at vision and prayer. What John is talking about, and I'm going to make this real in our world. And I can't tell you what to do, right? I can't tell you what to do because this is a hard one. John says, whoever, right, sees his brother in need and shuts up his bowel of compassion. In our world, what's around us, right? Homelessness, people who stand on the sidewalk and have a sign that says, I need food, or I'll work for food, or I'm a vet, or something, right? I have people call the church every week asking for something. And when I look at the scripture, I go like, okay, what do I do? That's a deep question in us, isn't it? What do we do? Because you know that you can't give money to every sign holder and every homeless person and every, right? See, what John is just telling us to do is make sure that we have compassion when compassion is needed and ready. And if you have the need and that compassion is raised up inside of you, to help others. Jesus walked around. Listen, not everybody Jesus went by was healed, nor were they affected or whatever. There's people around us in this world that we will never truly be able to help. But I think what John is telling us is to help those we can help. Right? He didn't want the meal.
No. He wanted it money. He wanted it money. And I asked him, I'm going to ask him. He wanted to go buy beer. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. I want you to. If you don't want it, that's fine. And I felt that. I felt that. And I drove to Vietnam. And then there was this guy on the wheelchair. And I said, I'm sorry. I have bought this food.
God will show you, right? John's the last part of that scripture is John telling us to not have a closed heart of compassion, but to always have an open heart of compassion. And God will show you. Can you stand? If you can. Squeeze that person's hand next to you really quick. Can you do that? Say, I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you're here today. Here's my challenge. Can you, this week, as you're hopefully going through the Word again, you're studying your notes, will you take the time to say, God, you've inspired me, and help me, Father. Help me, Father, with these areas in my life so that I can grow and I can become stronger and I become a force to my family, my friends, my coworkers, my neighbors. Father, we're thankful for this time. Thankful, Father, for your word. And I pray that, God, you would help us grow as a church. You'd help us grow individually. That, Father God, we could take what we've learned and we could reach not only our community, but beyond. I love you, Father. And I'm grateful today for our guests. I'm grateful for those who are here. We're missing those who aren't here today because they're gone with family or sick or whatever. But I pray, Father God, that needs would be met. And that, Father, if there's somebody here today who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that today will be a great day. That they will come and say, I need Jesus. They will come and say, will you pray for me? love you. And we give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you say, let it be so? Let it be so. We're glad you